first time. We are thrilled that you have chosen to come worship with us. We trust you'll have a good time here at the house of God. We have a baptism this morning. Now remember, baptism does not save. It's a picture of obedience to those who put their faith and trust in Christ alone. You have to have a proper authority. That's a local New Testament church. Proper amount of water to picture the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ. And most importantly, a proper candidate, that someone who's put their faith and trust in Christ. This morning we have Aesop. He trusted Christ as personal Savior back in Vacation Bible School. And we're glad to have him come here to be a part of our church family. Aesop, do you trust Christ and him alone as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in his likeness, raised again to walk in newness of life. Aesop invited a couple of his teachers, guidance counselors here, and they're on the front row, so thank y'all for coming. Say hello. Thank you, guys. good to see you again here today. I hope you've had a good week in the Lord. As we start another week, we're going to be in John chapter number 3 this morning. John chapter number 3. We are halfway through January 2019. Isn't that amazing? Time just keeps ticking. Tonight in the evening service, we're going to be going over the evening, the annual calendar of events with an emphasis on the vision for the year. And so I'd invite all of you to come back to our evening service for that so we can be all on the same sheet of music. The Bible says without a vision, people perish. And so tonight, that's going to be the thought of the evening service, and we'll be going over a lot of things. We have a God that's a God of order, and so we want to be a church of order. So tonight, if you could make yourself available and be back here for our evening service at 6:30, that would be a wonderful time to spend together, looking forward to what God's going to do with our church here in 2019 and beyond. Tonight, or this morning, I gave you the chapter. Did I tell you the verse? John 3:16. What topic do you think I'd be preaching on from John 3:16? Salvation. There's one. Love. How about that? That's it today. We're going to talk about love this morning. Now, so I think we need to refocus on this issue a little bit. So I want us as God's people in 2019 to have a good, clear vision of God's love. And as we look at it, I want you to remain focused on the thought, love. So in John 3:16, as you may know, the Christian faith is built on love. Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Turn with me to Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. And verse number 8. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. One more verse this morning, 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter 4, sorry, 1 John chapter 4. Now, this is just the last verse to get us started. Of course, we're going to have many other verses as we look through the Word of God this morning. But just to get us started, I wanted to show you these verses on love. In case you didn't realize it, God loves us. John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So the Christian life and faith is built upon love. And so as we look at this, we are to love others. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is what we call the great chapter of love, charity, God's love. And it says in many different ways and shapes and forms there, we can know a lot of things, we can say a lot of things, we can have a lot of faith to move a lot of mountains and do a lot of things, but if we have not charity, we have not love, if we have not the love of God within us, the Bible says very plainly, I am nothing. I am nothing. And so we're commanded to love one another. Matter of fact, look in 1 John 3, back up a chapter as we look there, verse number 14. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, the Bible says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because, now here's the reason, we know we've been born again, we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren,
He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Same chapter, look at verse number 18. Same chapter, verse number 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. I mean, a lot of folks say, I love, I love, I love, but in deed and truth and their actions of life really is not speaking love. And so today, what I want us to do is I want you to see that God is love. He loves you. First thing I want you to know this morning, if you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, that means, according to Scripture, that you recognize that you have sinned against the holy and righteous God. Not against me. And the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not against our church, not against their religion, but you have sinned against the righteous God, the God of heaven, who sent his only begotten Son down the cross of Calvary, that he might be your propitiation for your sin, and you've sinned against him, but yet he wants to reconcile you back into himself, and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior this morning, you do not and cannot understand the love of God, which I'm speaking of today. Only through that relationship through Jesus Christ can you understand and know what it really means when it says John 3:16. I mean, we see it, football games, baseball games, basketball games, somebody's holding John 3:16. There's more to it than just that. It's an understanding that you and I as individuals have sinned. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so this morning, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I encourage you this morning to listen intently to the message. Hear the Holy Spirit of God, for the Bible says today is the day of salvation. And if the Lord is speaking to your heart and you've never trusted Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, today, not by a religious act here at Lock Haven Baptist Church, not by water baptism, not by singing in the choir, not by giving money, but for not works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy are we saved. It's by faith in Christ, in Christ alone, that you can know him as your personal Lord and Savior. He said in the Word of God, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So this morning, before we move on and move beyond, I extend Jesus Christ to you. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do? There's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. So today, if you've never trusted Christ, Jesus loves you. God loves you. And he wants you to be part of his family so that you might know him as a father, an Abba father. So as we look at this, we consider this. We have evidence that we have trusted Christ, according to the Bible. We know that we've passed from death unto life. That means we know that we understood we were lost. We trusted Christ. We have life now in Christ. And it manifests itself by love toward one another. Now listen, love, and I don't know how to say this any better than I can say it than this. Love has limits. Not God's love, but love has limits. And God wants us to limit our love that he has given to us and shared with us. So, Pastor, that's kind of contradictory. What are you talking about? Well, that's why we have a Bible. That's why we as God's people have to look into Scripture and understand the principles of the Word of God. Now, I want you to go with me to Proverbs chapter number 20. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 13. I want us to be full of the love of God. I want us to love the brethren. I want us to love the lost. I want us to, as a church, to share Jesus Christ with all the world and be a faithful witness. But there are some things as God's children that we are not to love. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 13. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 13. Listen what the Bible says. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. Do you understand that the Word of God says, if a man does not work, neither should he eat? The Bible says here that we are not to love sleep. What is it saying, Pastor? What are you trying to say here? The Bible is telling us that we are warned about the dangers of laziness. And we are moving in our country in a way that is nothing but lazy. And we're not to be lazy people. Matter of fact, the Bible says that we are to occupy until He comes. That word occupy means to be busy, to be about the things of God, to be alive and active and doing things. The other day, I was listening to the radio. I listen to, in the mornings, sometimes when I'm traveling, 96.5, trying to get the weather update, trying to get the traffic update, and trying to get a little bit of news that's not going to depress me. And then when I start getting depressed, I turn it off and I'm done with it. But there was a question in this. I think it's called Open Mic Monday. I don't know. I really don't know what it is in that little bit. But here was the question. And the Lord is blessing us. I mean, we have bunches of abundance of teachers now here coming to the church. I think we have probably, 8 teachers. The Lord's really trying to humble me, because I'm telling you, I need help in this area. So maybe the Lord bringing all this wisdom, all these teachers. But there was this question for high school students. Should high school students start classes later instead of earlier? Brother Chris, when you was working at the other one, way down there in Davenport, what time did you have to get up to be at work down there at Davenport, the post office?
Like 4 o'clock.
Oh, wait, 4 o'clock?
4 o'clock.
Brother Scott, what time did you have to get up before you got your shift changed to be at work?
Well, now it's just different. This week I got to get up at 1 o'clock in the morning to be there at 2.
1 o'clock to get up at 2. Brother Randy, what time you got to be up to get to the gas station to fill up at Keenan and be at your first drop sometimes?
3 a.m.
Ooh, 3 a.m. Listen to me, high schoolers. High school is to prepare you for life. I'm sorry to tell you, not every job you get is going to get you up and have you clocking in at 9 to 5. Now, listen, understand something to me this morning. Help me out. There's more than one 8 o'clock in the day. There's 8 a.m., there's 8 p.m. And listen, teachers, what time do you have to get up to be at school so that you're there for the teachers, for the students when they come? Say they start. Say the first bell is at 7:20. They got to be sitting in their class. Do you think the teachers are there just walking in at 7:18? No, they have to be there. They have to be there. Sister Fran, what time do you have to get up and drive that 18-wheeler for Publix?
12:30
in the morning or 9?
Morning.
A.M. 12:30. A.M. Some of us said, oh, right, there's the job I want. I can get, I can sleep all the way to 12:30. Not P.M. A.M. And I could go on and go on and go on and show other examples of this. Brother Josh, what time do you have to get up sometimes to be at work?
3 in the morning.
Ooh, 3 in the morning. Listen, as God's people, we are warned. Now, this was one of the things that came across the radio. It has been proven, somebody got on this open mic, and it has been proven by scientists. This was this. By scientists, that teenagers are becoming more and more and more nocturnal. Medically. No different. They love darkness, because their deeds are evil. Uh-oh, I better get on this side of the table. They love darkness because their deeds are evil.
Amen.
There is absolutely nothing good for you going on at 2 or 3 o'clock every morning, every day. You need to sleep. You need to rise up early. so that you can learn a habit of good sleep, well caring for the temple of God. Sleep is part of that. You say, Pastor, but my job has me working all night and I sleep all day. That's a different story. What I'm talking about, dear friend, is we've got a group of kids and adults that are staying up all night long playing Fortnite. And then showing up at school and can't keep their eyes open and complaining that the teacher's giving them homework. And mom and dads are calling the school and complaining that they need more recess time because they need more personal time and they need to come to school later, different the Bible says, and I'm talking about God's people. The Bible says here, love not sleep. Love not laziness. So we need to understand something, that it is time is precious. Time is something that all of us have equal amounts of. Brother James does not get 27 hours a day because he works at Dr. Phillips. Brother James has 24 hours. Listen, Brother Hector and Brother Randy, who work for Keenan to drive gas, they don't get 18 hours a day because they work in a gas industry and deliver gas. They have 24 hours a day. Every last one of us have the same amount, and time is precious. And we need not waste it. God has called us to be workers. The devil would have us to be slackers. And we need not to be slackers because we have a lot of job to do. Here's an amazing thing in the Word of God. If you go to Moses and Abraham, and you go to David, and you look up these lives, do you know Moses and David were tending sheep when God called them to work for Him? Peter, James, and John, what were they doing? They were fishing. They were busy. Listen, we are not saved by works, but we are saved to accomplish the work of God through us. And therefore, Pastor, what are you talking about? This is what I'm talking about. If I train myself from a young age to be lazy and to be slacking and not to be busy and not to be industrious and not to be involved in the things of... Listen, there is absolutely nothing wrong with a child at 12 years old being able to wash dishes.
Amen.
There's nothing wrong with a... Listen. Oh, Lord, help us. There's absolutely nothing wrong, men, that you take your 12-year-old, 13-year-old, 14-year-old son and teach him how to run a weed eater. Nothing. Quit being lawnmower parents. Y'all heard that terminology? Helicopter parenting and lawnmower parenting. Quit being helicopters and lawnmowers and be moms and dads. Because they're going to grow up. And one day, Manny's not going to be 12 anymore, and Aesop's not going to be 12 anymore. Aesop's going to be 18, 19, 20 years old. Aesop and Manny's going to have a wife and children that depend upon them, and they need to learn to be industrious now. Well, how do they learn that? From us as adults. We as adults need to be busy about the things of life, and that spills over into the house of God. You know what happens when we're lazy on everyday things? We become lazy on the things of God.
That's right.
Just a simple fact. All right? We're moving on from being lazy. I see all of you here on Sunday morning, so you weren't lazy. Let's go on. 1 John chapter 2. Pastor, I thought this was about love. Yes, about things that we're not to love. Y'all were all excited when I said John 3:16. Said, wow, boy, this is going to be an easy message today. We're going to hear about salvation and everything. Praise God for salvation. I thank the Lord for saving my soul, making me part of His family. But I thank God for His Word that He has preserved, that we can learn from, and we can be more Christ-like by being obedient to it. 1 John chapter number 2. And let's look at verse number 15. Love not the world. Love not sleep. Love not the world. Christians must be the meanest people of all. No. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, listen to what it is, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Listen, I know what you're thinking. Your mind's already ticking. Well, what about John 3:16 that you said? For God so loved the world. For God so loved the people of the world. What God is saying here to us in the Word of God is that we're not to love the things of the world. There's this here thing that we need to revisit as God's people, and it's called worldliness. We need to revisit this thing called holiness. The Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. The Bible says that we're not to love the world because what's of the world? Lust, pride. Look all around us. Look all around us. Some of the most vilest commercials I've ever seen in my life have been coming on here lately. I'm going to mention one. I'm going to move on because it's vile. This here new TV thing they got going on is to take over cable called Sling TV. If you've seen their commercials, they're vile. Vile. I'm going to move on because I know some of you Googled right now. I'm trying to YouTube Sling TV commercial. Why in the world you got to use that? Because that is of the world. Lust. Lust. God loves people. Listen. God calls us to live in this world without being of this world.
Amen.
Right?
We're not to love the world. And we got to be careful as God's people. We really have to be careful in 2019 that if we want to make a difference in the life of our community and we want to be a church that's here as the salt and the light of the world, that we're doing it God's way. God loves people. He loves sinners. And listen with me. If you would, take time. I encourage you. Take time on your own. We can't do it today. But take time on your own. Go through the life of Christ. And see exactly how God, Jesus Christ on this earth, how he dealt with sinners. He dealt kindly. He dealt lovingly. He dealt tenderly with them while staying the Son of God. Amen. You know the Bible says that Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible says that God changes not. I'm not talking about living in the past. I'm not talking about going back to Bible times. I'm talking about God has called us to live this way today. In 2019, that we are to love not laziness. We're not to love the things of this world. In other words, there should be a little bit of difference about you and I and this lost world. There should be a great difference, to be honest with you, because we have, as God's children, the Holy Spirit of God living within us, and He gives us an unction, He gives us a teaching, He gives us direction, He guides us and helps us to become more Christ-like. So we're not to love this world. We're to love the people of the world. We're to love their soul. We're to try to do our best to share Christ with all that we come in contact with. That's why as you look around, you look in our choir, and you look in the congregation of our church as God continues to grow it. We are a people of many different places. Well, how did that come about? Because we are doing it God's way by sharing Christ with whoever we come across with. And as we do that, God begins to add and continue to add and to bless us with folks from all different walks of life and all different places. And He helps us to be that bright and shining light, a city sit on a hill that we should be. Because we are doing what God says. Love people. Love those that are lost. Seeking to share Christ with them. But don't become of this world and be part of this world to try to change the world. It does not work that way. It does not work that way. It can't. It's impossible for it to work that way. 1 Timothy chapter 6 for the third thing this morning. We'll be finishing up real closely here by the hour. 1 Timothy chapter 6. So the Bible says in Proverbs 20:13, to love not sleep or laziness. In 1 John 2:15 and 17, the Bible says, love not the world. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. John Wesley said this, I fling money out of my hand as quick as possible, lest it find its way to my heart. R.A. Torrey said, a complete lack of the love of money is needed for God's people. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 40, if somebody is to sue you for your coat, for that which you have, if they pursue you, Jesus said, to give them your cloak also. We're talking about the love of money, not the use of money. So there's a big difference. There's a great difference in the love of money and the use of money. We live in a place where currency or money must be used. We're not trading chickens and eggs anymore. Brother Paul's not bringing his rabbits over and trading me rabbits for tires for his truck. We deal with money. But the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Well, give me a better example. How about Luke chapter 18 where the rich young man came to Jesus and he began to talk to Jesus and said, what must I do to gain eternal life? And Jesus named off a few of the laws and he said, from my youth I have done that. But in verse 23, Jesus told him, he said, go sell all that you have and then give it to the poor and you shall gain eternal life. And the Bible says this in Luke chapter number 18 and verse 23. He went away sorrowful. The love of money brings about sorrow. It does bring about nothing but troubles and sorrows. That, well, I would like to have me a bank full of sorrow. That's carnal thinking. So money can buy a lot of things, but it can also cause error of the faith. Let's read again, verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. How about Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. His love for money drove him to the point that he would even take things falsely from people by accusation. He was a tax collector. So he'd say, Dick, you owe me $12.50 today for that acre land over there. But the Roman government said, Dick, you owe $7.50. And he would say to you, if you say anything about this here increase, next time I'm going to ask for your donkey too. And he took it by false accusation. But when he met Jesus Christ, he had to return all of that which he got and gained by false accusations, by thievery. And it brought, not only did it bring covetousness about him, when it was all said and done, it brought about a man that had to return things to people that he had wronged. Quite humbling, right? The love of money. I guess what I'm trying to get you to know, church, is this. You have to live, but don't live for that money. Don't live for that next increase. Live and allow yourselves to be used of God and what you have. Remember this, that whether you have $1,000 or $10,000, it is still a steward of God. And I'm telling you, God's not against you having. God desires to give us the delights of our heart. He's not against you having. But when it comes to a point for the love of money, where you make a choice, where you used to be faithful here to God, and you used to be faithful here to the things of God, but you make a choice that I've got to have this increase, that the faithfulness of God, the faithfulness to God, is lacking. The love of money has taken over. Listen, I desire you to be blessed beyond abundance. When God takes you to the next, you become up there where you sit at the table with Vizio, and you enjoy fellowship with the CEO of Amazon up here. He comes down because your bank accounts match. If God does that to you, thank God for it, but don't let it be done because you love the money and you neglected God. Because if God blesses you as His children and blesses you in a way that you're abundantly, financially wealthy and healthy, you are going to intermingle with people that I'd never be able to intermingle with. Why do you think He did that? So that you could share the love of Christ with the wealthy. See, God needs witnesses in every step of society. In every job. I'm so thankful that we have construction workers, we have teachers, we have bankers, we have truck drivers and all sorts of people working here and going to church here at the school, going to church here with us, because that lets us reach out into many different levels and areas of life that in otherwise there might not be a good gospel witness for them. But if I love laziness, I'm not going to share Christ. If I love the things of the world, I'm not going to see any different in their life and my life, and I'm not going to see their need for Christ. And if I love money, I'm going to neglect those around me while chasing after that money. Here's one question, and we're done. What will be of real value when we stand before Christ? What will be of real value? Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed. The pianist is coming. In the other earlier portions of the message, we talked about Jesus and what He could do for you. Here's the opportunity. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all of you that are heavy laden." If you know not Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'm going to be standing down here in front. I will not embarrass you. We'll take you aside. We'll open the Word of God. We'll show you what God says about eternity. We won't come to you. We won't shame you. But I do want you to know that Jesus loves you. And I'll be down here. The altars will be open. Maybe there's an area of one of these three in your life. You know, oh man, I have been so lazy in 2018. Oh, I've started loving the things in this world like I should never have loved the things of this world. Perhaps right now in the part of your life where you're at, you're chasing that dollar. So I do understand you need money, but don't allow that money to become your God.